Yes! Finn's got a little extra space unicorn this time. He needed it.
I needed it, yeah.
A little pick-me-up before we get started. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This, of course, your ear rapist, Ben. We'll have most of the crew, plus a couple special guests. But we do have super blogger Vince in the house.
That's me.
We have Brett live from New York City.
Yay for Brett.
Yay, Brett. And hey. we have Vince's personal intern, Zeke, in the house.
Hello.
Yay, Zeke.
So, just real quick, in a sentence, what does being Vince's intern entail? Because I have some theories that I don't know that we can discuss here.
It involves email rage.
Do you email rage for him?
No, he email rages at me.
you son of a bitch!
All caps.
Poorly spelled. Commas everywhere.
And then he says sorry afterwards, so, you know, because he loves me.
I just picture it involving a lot of dusting of things. And maybe...
a sexy maid outfit?
Maybe a lot of laundry. What does this have to do with writing? You'll learn.
I do go through a lot of slacks in the course of a day.
Just constantly pooping your pants.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I split the back of them. Like, I'm going to need you to mend this. I did a lot of squats.
So you're going
to
go ahead and mend these? That's your assignment for the day.
Zeke, tell us about your background. Where do you come from and why?
With what?
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And when did you leave Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
I left Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania about a year ago.
And what are your thoughts on Pittsburgh? I mean, what's Pittsburgh really like?
Pittsburgh is a place that is absent of culture, but has Broadway tours come through, so people think it's actually very full of culture. Mm-hmm. And then all of, like, the art kids are like, it's actually like a blank canvas that, you know, we can really express ourselves on.
Yeah.
And then I say, you still have to get out of Pittsburgh because no one cares about it.
But isn't it going through some sort of renaissance? That's what I hear.
It's those kids who are saying it's a blank canvas and then running a decent, like, internet campaign.
So it's sort of coming from people that have not been out of Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You're telling me that the Pittsburgh renaissance is not true?
Pittsburgh.
My world has been turned upside down.
It's, you know, everyone's like, well, Andy Warhol came from Pittsburgh, but he made his art in New York.
but he was born in Pittsburgh, so, you know, that's really what made him.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, there's Chabon, and he has his little, like, Pittsburgh. It's like, oh, Douglas Street, that's where I grew up, that's where my school is, and he writes about it. None of these people write or make anything in Pittsburgh, though.
So they leave, but it's still in their hearts.
It's in, yeah, you know, you can never say iron correctly.
Mm. How do you say it?
Like, it's arn.
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 Hmm.
Just A-R-N.
I never noticed the weird, like, Pennsylvania accent thing people do where you're like, I'm going to go over there. I can't do it at all.
It's like the chef from the Muppets.
Oh, it's worse than that. It's the ugliest accent there is, Pennsylvania.
It's like you're not used to hearing it, so it's not as easy to mimic as, like, Boston or New York that you're sort of used to hearing. It's sort of like you hear it in snippets, and you're like, what the hell was that? What just happened?
Pierogies, like that.
Well, let's before we get into Zeke's life story, let's talk about what we're going to do. We're going to get Joe Sinclitico.
Did we not do that yet?
No, you
sorry.
Jumped right in.
I'm sorry.
The comedian formerly known as Joe King. Maybe people get confused, you know. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk several movies. Well, Vince saw My Big Wedding.
The Big Wedding.
The Big Wedding.
Yeah.
Zeke went in his stead. I hope none of the PR people are listening.
No, because, I told them.
Oh, you told the PR people?
Yeah, they know.
Oh. Zeke Mancini is going to be coming through. Everyone call him Garbanzo. You didn't know that Vince's first son is going to be Garbanzo Mancini?
Well, if it's a boy, yeah.
Let's leave it open-ended.
Okay, okay.
Garbanzo if it's a girl.
Garbanzo,
no, chickpeas
chickpea.
If it's a girl.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And Zeke saw Pain and Gain. And then I saw Oblivion, which they may have talked about last week. But Zeke, did you see Oblivion?
No.
Do you want to see Oblivion?
I'd see it, I guess.
That was a rousing endorsement. That's going to go on the next poster.
Let me put it this way. It's better than the Big Wedding, believe it or not.
That's impossible.
That would be great on a poster, though. I'd see it, question mark. Zeke, film drunk intern.
I saw all of Hemlock Grove by accident.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing for some reason.
Is it good?
No, it's terrible.
Oh, really? That's Eli Roth's thing, right?
Yeah, it's very Eli Roth. Like, they cannot wait to show your Gorgons. Just super excited to rip out your lungs.
All right, so wait, did you finish?
I got one more thing.
Dock it, do it up.
Just one more thing. This isn't part of the show, but Vince, Laramie, and myself, all the Kickstarter going to go to the Gathering of the Juggalos this year. We're all really scared. So part of us...
I'm legitimately terrified. Like, when Ben proposed it, I was like, this sounds like a terrible idea, but you know... They say that you're supposed to try to do the things that scare you.
If you show your tits, you get stoned.
It's true.
You just don't know what drug. That's the scary part.
No, it's actual stones.
Stones. Rocks.
Like, I already had a couple people.
Thank you for explaining.
I already had a couple people on Twitter be like, oh, look at these assholes. They want us to pay so they can go, like, make fun of people.
No, I don't want to make fun of people.
I don't want to make fun of people. I kind of want to just go and explore. Like, I do want to do like a vision quest. I'm sort of fascinated by the subculture. Of course, it was fun to mock early on, but that only lasts so long. They have to be legitimately fascinating. Otherwise, we would just be like, oh, who cares?
I admire their dedication to the rap rock genre, to Insane Clown Posse and all the different bands, to painting their face, to saying woo woo. Like, I admire all that. It's endearing to me.
I agree. And they have a much better sense of humor than I think they get credit for.
I appreciate that they're just like, you know, we're all about family and we just want to have fun. I can appreciate
so,
that.
So, like, it wouldn't be funny if we just went and, like, made fun of people. That would be retarded. So we're not going to do that. I'm very scared because, you know, I'm afraid someone's going to be like, oh, look, there's those assholes that wrote this thing about us, like, 3 years ago. And they're going to, like, throw rocks at me.
I don't think they're going to know.
It could. You never know, man.
All you have to do is point one direction and say, I think it's the FBI, and then you run.
I think it's adorable that Vince believes he has that level of penetration and name brand recognition.
You don't even want to know about my penetration.
The best comedy spot in Pittsburgh is a Juggalo bar in West Virginia.
So, that was complex.
Let's parse this statement.
First of all, there was a lot of levels to that. Second of all, do people come there with like face paint on?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome.
And they bring their kids and stuff.
Wow.
That's part of it. It's family. It's all about family.
Yeah, the indoctrination.
Interesting. That was it, Vince. We're good now.
So yeah, let's kickstart that. I'm scared to go, so you guys should be excited to see what happens because I'm terrified.
A nervous Vince wandering around in Juggalo face paint. Yeah. Like, I don't want to make anyone mad at me. Do you like me?
Like, I'm not afraid anyone's going to beat me up, but I'm a little afraid they might, like, throw poop or rocks at me or maybe, like, stick me with a hypo or something. I don't know.
Please don't throw your poop at me. I'm really nice.
You're going to put, like, space cakes in my Mountain Dew.
How dare you, first of all? That's not what they drink,
Vago,
man.
Vago, sorry.
God.
Yeah.
Damn
I apologize.
It.
You're going to have to get the same shots you have to get to go to the third world.
Did you
more.
Get, like, the lung test? What was that?
TB.
TB, yeah.
TB test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hep A, typhoid.
Hep A through Z.
That's right.
Yeah, ones they haven't even discovered yet.
Yeah, we're going to do that. So right. That'll be fun, hopefully. I don't know. I'm scared.
Well, we'll have a whole professional film crew It's pretty much professional film crew following us around. If it happens, we're going to rent an RV. It'll be a whole shebang.
Yeah. Before we get into the movies that we saw, I did want to play you this clip because this is very audio-oriented. As you know, Will Smith did a movie with M. Night Shyamalan. Will Smith
really?
And his son.
Oh, Shammy? Did he Shammy direct that?
M. Shammy.
Did he direct that?
He did direct that.
Really? No wonder it looks so awful.
Yeah, well, there's that. So Will Smith turned down Django Unchained and instead decided to do a movie from M. Night Shyamalan.
Although I haven't seen Django, but it feels like a part in a movie that he would, it's sort of against the Will Smith brand. Like, he's very weird about his brand.
Oh, Django?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's what I mean. Like, whether he officially turned it down because of this other movie Or it was just like, hey, there's this other movie I can do with my son.
Yeah.
We'll each make $20 million.
Yeah, even though it's sort of like tempting fate. You're like, oh, I haven't had a flop since 97. I'm going to go do a movie with a guy who's had like four straight
flops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Will Smith, especially globally, I think he still probably has a really big draw.
Oh, he's pretty much the biggest draw worldwide.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but.
Have you seen his abs?
I seen his sons. I saw Jackie Chan
washing.
Just mooning over Jaden Smith's abs. Rook-a-riddle boy. Rook-a-riddle boy. Anyway, before this goes even more terribly.
What just happened?
I don't know. So here's
I blacked out.
Here's the TV spot, which has some glorious voiceover from Will Smith.
We used to celebrate our planet once a year on Earth Day, but one day wasn't enough to save it. In 2071, we were forced to leave our world and find a new home. We never thought we'd return. Landed. Son, we are the first humans to set foot on this planet in over 1,000 years.
Why does he talk like a weirdo?
I don't know.
That's part of the script?
Yeah.
So, if you don't have the video playing, it's just like talking low, whole bunch of sounds, all kinds of sounds. You got 13, 14 different things going on.
Oh, it's going to get better.
He's doing his Leo as Howard Hughes.
Interesting.
Wave of the future.
Everything has evolved to kill humans.
This is the best line, sorry.
Everything has evolved to kill humans.
Now
how would they have done that with no humans on the planet?
Yeah, that's
because they knew that we were there, and they knew that we're probably going to come back, and they all conspired to train specifically to eliminate the human threat.
This is
even
how,
the trees?
This is how evolution
well,
works.
Well, yeah, because it's a little bit of a callback to the one with Marky Mark.
The Happening.
Yeah.
Where
the plants are evil. So it's a little bit of a callback to that.
Forgot that's how that ended. That is incredibly stupid.
Hey there, plant. Why are you killing people? That's kind of weird.
I just want to get back to my roots. I don't know what's the matter with that.
Remember, danger is real, but fear is a choice.
That's a
danger is real,
but fear is a choice.
Oh, fuck. It's terrible.
Fear is a choice, Brett. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, I choose to fear every day of my life. I wake up and I think, is today the day you choose to fear? And then I say, yeah, and then I stay in bed.
It's not just a given now?
So that looks good.
Wait, so in the trailer, it looks like Will Smith gets killed off at some point. Is that true? And then it's Jaden wandering around this.
That's some people's, in the comments, there was speculation that the reason his voice sounds so robotic is that he dies and is coming to his son through some sort of voice box.
Question. People analyze that trailer so much that they have theories about the movie?
Well, it was just one person, to be fair.
Was his name Vince?
No, definitely was not.
Was his name Vince?
I do not analyze a lot of M. Night Shyamalami.
Yeah, but you're a huge Jaden fan.
Oh, yeah.
Big.
My favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite. If I had to pick a favorite thing in this world, it's Will Smith's dumb wiener kids.
I'd love to see Jaden cradle his father's head in his lap and then watch him turn into a zombie slowly and have to strangle him to death or break his neck or something.
Maybe
he has to karate chop his neck so hard.
Yeah.
He's a hologram that you have to haul around for the rest of your life, just having Will Smithism spit at you from a little blue person.
That's interesting.
That's what most people are probably thinking.
The other big news this week.
Ooh. Besides that.
No, there's a much bigger story on the horizon than Jaden Smith's voiceover.
What's it called? After Earth?
After Earth.
After
oh,
Earth.
Also, I forgot to mention the best part. So that came out yesterday. Monday was Earth Day, and they had a big marketing campaign because, you know, After Earth Day.
Well, they even say
right?
it. They even say it. We used to celebrate Earth as a big party.
Yeah.
We would dig holes in the ground and make love to it.
By the way, I live in San Francisco, and I don't know anybody. I haven't seen anything that goes on for Earth Day.
It's today, right?
No, it's Monday.
Oh, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, I don't think we could live in a much more hippie-ish, Earth-loving community. And I didn't see much going on.
Yeah, I didn't
either. Well, the new way to celebrate Earth Day is just cry for half an hour.
Oh, that's what you do?
Yeah, because it's fucked. The whole thing's fucked.
Yeah, we've raped it pretty good.
Yeah, there's no coming back. No amount of hand-holding or happy songs is going to unfuck the thing.
Do they celebrate now that maybe we didn't start a new massive oil drilling machine or something?
Nope.
No.
Nope. That's all coming.
No. All right. Well, you know, we can look forward to that.
Yeah.
Anywho.
So there's other big news this week.
Other big news on the horizon, coming over the curve of the Earth. Zach Braff.
I saw.
A big favorite of everybody.
I saw through Film Drunk, actually.
Yeah, he's using Kickstarter to fund his new movie, and a lot of people are not happy about that.
I thought he was funding a new Paisley shirt.
Well, the problem is he needs the wallpaper to match the Paisley shirt. That's what's expensive.
To be fair, it's sort of a floral leaf pattern.
But a good scene.
Yeah, it was a good scene. It was a good scene. You know what? The weird thing about Garden State is I loved all of the small town... Like he nailed sort of like the going back to the small town thing.
Yeah.
Like, even though like there was a heavy dose of like obnoxious sort of, I would say it was actually pre the sort of obnoxious hipster indie band pimping, but it sort of started that and sort of, like the scene where she's like, listen to this, it's the Shins, it'll change your life. Like that whole thing definitely is very dated.
That's not a line in the movie? Well.
Yeah. Yeah. That line has not aged well, but like all the stuff of going back to like the small town, I thought was.
But that's only because you didn't actually listen to the Shins and your life remained as sad and hopeless as it was before you didn't listen to the Shins. If you just followed her advice, everything would be different. You'd be a much happier person.
I hate to say this, but I did listen to the Shins.
He was their number one fan,
before, a little after.
Here's the problem, Brett. He was a huge fan.
Yeah. And then
he got corporate after that. That's right.
He saw them? Dude, he saw them at the Warfield when they opened for someone else.
It used to be like our little dive bar, and now there's all these asshole yuppies there just fucking ordering their expensive drinks and just ruining it. It used to have such a vibe, you know? It's not about family anymore.
So I'm confused about the backlash, though. Where does the backlash come from?
Because, you know, Kickstarter's supposed to be for some struggling... guys that maybe want to go to the Gathering of the Juggalos / people that, you know, they want to crowdfund.
But what's the difference? He's not taking money.
Why'd you say it like that?
He's not taking money away from something else.
Well, yeah, I know. But that's what people always read it as, which is stupid. I think it's stupid. Because, look, people are like, oh, he could just, you know, use his own money on this. And then, you know, like if he really believed in the project, he could fund it himself and then hope to make it back when he sells the movie.
Isn't that everybody on Kickstarter?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The process of making a movie is like 90% of it is asking for people to give you money so you can make the movie. So whether you do it on Kickstarter, whether you do it from a studio,
whether you call your friends up.
Like a Russian mobster guy, like the whole process is raising money. Like that's 80% of the battle.
Yeah, you need to get X amount of dollars to even get started.
Yeah.
And it's not like, even if he's wildly successful on Kickstarter, like if he hits record-breaking Kickstarter.
He got $1 million in a day, by the way.
He's still going to have to ask other people for money because the records that have been broken on that thing are not enough to get much of a movie going.
He did make $1 million in a day.
What's his goal?
Let me find this out.
Well, I'm just curious.
I think it was like two something here. I'm clicking on it.
Because, I mean, you could definitely, it depends on what he wants to do. But you could make a movie for a couple million bucks. I mean,
his goal was $2 million, and he's already made 1.19 in a day, which is quite impressive.
Almost,
I'd break a lot of records then.
Yeah.
Well, now Veronica Mars is like 5.7.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then the Pebble Watch, I think, was like 10.
The what?
The Pebble Watch, I think, is the biggest one. It was like
I thought the record was 6, but that makes sense.
I think it was 10. I'm pretty sure. The Pebble Watch was. It's sort of like, you know how now you can do the small iPods you can put as a watch. It was sort of like that, but it's just a digital watch that you can – it's Bluetooth enabled, so it can get text to it. You can change the face of it. Yeah, like people were designing different faces so you can have it.
Wish I could change the face of you.
I wish I had $1,000 for every time I heard that.
I'd make you beautiful.
Anyway, I'm always confused on backlash. From stuff like that, because my attitude is like, look, try it out. If people give him money, no one's holding a fucking gun to their head.
I think this is much different. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's different than the Veronica Mars. Like, if it was the studio going directly to the... But honestly, even then, it's like, all you're
What's
doing
the difference?
Is...
You're just getting money up front as opposed to money later.
Look, if people are going to... If you can get people to donate, people are going to ask them to. So, and why wouldn't you?
Well, I was less in favor of the Veronica Mars thing because it was actually Warner Brothers, wasn't it?
I think it
wasn't like the directors and stuff. And
no, I think
Warner
it was Brothers. The creator.
My understanding from the little that
that's what it said. It said Rob Thomas on the.
Okay, well, that's a little better. But like, they've essentially got that IP. I wasn't beefing so much. I'm a little uncomfortable with studios that have built-in departments to handle this sort of shit, farming that out. But the main thing is that they've already got IP, and that's locked up. And no one can do anything with it unless this goes through. So they're essentially holding it for hostage.
Yeah, the main fear is – yeah, that's true because, yeah, they
Whereas
have – Raph
seems to be offering something new. I haven't looked at it yet.
The fear – I mean, I feel like the fear is that instead of – like that the studios will eventually figure out like, wow, we can take even less risk by just putting this up on Kickstarter and seeing if people respond to it. But I don't necessarily see that happening.
Not – I could see it maybe on a similar Veronica Mars thing on something that's older and – I mean, honestly, a little bit. Veronica Mars is clearly not obscure, but it's also not. It's not like making a Friends movie or something either.
Don't give people ideas, Ben.
Well, I'd rather watch a Friends movie than a Veronica Mars movie.
How about I'll watch neither?
And that's also a good
There'd
point.
There'd be a lot more see-through nipple, like shirt. Nipple.
Is that a Veronica Mars thing or is it a Friends thing?
Friends thing. Oh, it's right. A Friends thing.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a big
Friends
thing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, like Rachel, she did have her nipples out a lot, didn't she?
Would they just cut out just the nipple part of her shirt?
You blur it. Oh yeah, no, they cut out the bra, so it sort of
just
so it
pokes
goes
through.
Yeah, pokes through.
Interesting. Yeah.
The women wanted the haircut; the men wanted the nipples.
That was their line.
I wanted Chandler's nipples. I was like, oh man.
Yeah, I'd go into barber shops and be like, give me some Monica nipples.
I'd take my shirt off. Give me the Chandler.
I'm gonna go ahead and take one Joey nipple, one Chandler nipple, and I'll be out of on my way.
Yeah, you can sort of get the composite. Hopefully, you attract both.
Yeah, if you sort of split down the middle.
Yeah.
One to each side.
What
like
kind
a hummingbird
here.
You can get a wide range at that point. I just don't – yeah, I'm a little confused of – they're not forcing it. Just like the if a movie's released, no one's forced to go see it. You know, we could get angry that a trillion people went to go see whatever, Twilight, Hunger Games, whatever it is, but they chose to go see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's similar to backlash of that, like – oh my God! Hunger Games made $4 billion. Like, well, you know,
I'm not. No one. I don't think any of us are against, Hunger Games or Twilight. I think it's only if that comes at the expense of other stuff.
Right.
And Kickstarter has never really been about. I mean, you can get low goal projects funded that are risky, but Kickstarter by nature is sort of like, hey, take a risk, and the only way people are going to pay money to it is if they buy into some fantasy or if it's got name brand recognition. So it's not really upping your ability to take on risky projects. It's mostly safe bets or like proven franchises.
I mean, people are realizing that, asking people to give money is not as different as asking a studio for money in that, you know, you're going to get more for something that's established, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's like, you want everything to be all revolutionary and.
Yeah.
And all
I mean,
that.
The reason studios have come to this point is because of, you know, risk and reward and how overblown that can get when you have to play to a national audience. You want localization, not.
Yeah.
Not lowered or more, I don't know.
Yeah, because a big studio, I mean, they're trying to use research and they're basically trying to give you the most, they're trying to please as many people as they can, which means no one's going to be that pleased, basically.
Yeah. The best thing you can do to get a risky venture going is to get it going for cheap, because that means you maintain control, you have less overhead. And, I mean, it's the same anywhere, Kickstarter, film studios, whatever.
Yep.
Doesn't bother me. Go get them, Zach.
Go get them. You do it, buddy.
Do they offer original album art of the soundtrack with every donation?
There was definitely some offers of credits and things like that. I don't remember.
I didn't look through it. I only read your post.
I could read it, but I just clicked out of the tab.
What?
And that part of me is dead now.
You You are so adverse to closing tabs. Why did you close that one specifically?
I thought we were done.
But you don't. I've never seen you close a tab.
I'm getting better.
Are you? You going to counseling?
Oh yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Just know that Zach Braff isn't done with you.
Is that a threat?
No, that was. I think it was more of an honor.
Oh yeah.
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 You'll never know.
So Zeke.
Yeah.
First of all, your name's Zeke.
My name is Zeke.
Is it short for Ezekiel or anything?
No, just Zeke.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Greenwald. So are you another Jewish person?
Yeah.
I don't imagine another there are that Jewish many Jewish person. Well, Ben.
Oh, right.
You guys can't recognize each other by like smell?
Since the invention of deodorant, it's been harder and harder to do pheromone sensing.
It is true. They did a study.
I imagine there's not as many Jewish dudes named Zeke. Like, I feel like you're probably one of the few.
It's mostly older black folks who tell me they know someone else named Zeke.
I would think, yeah, when I hear Zeke, I picture like someone on like Lonesome Dove or something. Like, oh, here's Zeke coming in with the driving.
What about, could he maybe also be on Walker, Texas Ranger?
What's, Gunsmoke?
What's Lonesome Dove?
It's a show about, it's a Western show. It's on set with, in the West.
Australian, though, isn't it?
No, it's Larry McMurtry.
Does it take place in Australia?
No, I don't think so.
Ain't got a lot of Zeke's out there.
You're thinking of Quigley Down Under. When that Tom Selleck was trying to protect the Aboriginals.
I don't think I've ever 40 been miles? Thinking of Quigley Down Under. I don't think at any point in my life have I thought Quigley Down Under.
He had a big sight on his rifle.
Right? Couldn't he shoot it really far?
He used it to defend the meek and the innocents, you know?
Not the innocent, but the innocents.
Mm-hmm.
Their innocence was being protected.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that movie.
I forget Zeke's so much younger, he doesn't get our references like Lonesome Dove. I mean, granted, that was a pretty old one.
Do you know what Quigley Down Under was? Did you ever see that?
I'm 20.
How dare you, first of all?
We're gonna have him here for market research when we have to like go try and pick up young girls at bars. Like, all right, cross off Lonesome Dove in the book. All right, cross off Quigley Down Under. Note to self.
I referenced all these things. Normally, people find them funny.
We could have like a segment like what does Zeke know? Like what?
Ooh,
what does Zeke know? You can teach us.
It's like a tutoring event.
Yeah, no, we can learn a lot.
Yeah.
Vince is rapidly changing his dating profile as he's listening, just hacking away. Oh God! Oh God! Right, I have so much work to do.
Popular TV shows. Go top 10. Yeah. Just tell me.
All right. Do you remember Independence Day? Did you see that?
I did see that.
Okay. All right. Because I remember doing an Independence Day joke at like a college, a Berkeley thing.
Didn't go over
well.
It was
all like 19 and 20 year olds. I don't think they.
Because they go to Berkeley.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. Never ending story.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a young person.
Yep. I'm not a Philistine.
All right, so Pain and Gain. First of all, tell us about the screening experience. How was it?
Was that the first one that you've gone to?
It's the second one I've gone to.
Did Vince tell you the secret that you don't give them your cell phone under any circumstances?
Oh, they didn't ask for the cell phone. So they asked me to shut it off, but I didn't.
Nice.
Oh, shit.
Wow, that's
right. You're representing us. That's good.
Yeah. Was that at Vince's behest? Vince said, you can go, but you better not turn off your fucking cell phone.
I want you tweeting the whole time.
All right. First rule of Film Drunk, don't take no shit from nobody.
Second rule of Film Drunk, you keep your phone on at all times. Yeah. I might need my laundry done at a minute's notice.
So you got? Did they give you the reserve seating with the little ticket?
Oh, yeah. I got a green ticket, and there was a piece of paper on the head rest, and I got to sit there. I sat dead in the middle, and I got to watch all of the other plebeians walk in.
That's right.
And
did you just thumb your nose at them the whole time? Little people in your stupid seats down there.
I was reading a book, so I didn't pay attention to them.
Excuse me, sir. I'm having trouble seeing over your very pedestrian dreams.
But as I was sitting there reading, there was one of the security guards. They were all wearing suits, like, "Oh yeah, we're the heavies. We're protecting the reels." And, although it's probably a disc now. And he was talking to this small Asian woman that was sort of directing people to where they should sit. And he's telling her about, like, facts about like, what was it? Onions? About onions. Yeah, that was it. About if you leave an onion by your bedside when you have a cold, it will absorb all of the bacteria.
And the onion will?
Yeah.
The onion will get bloated with bacteria?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. And then she did.
Yeah, that's pretty well known.
And then she, the Asian girl didn't respond. So he's like, I guess I read too much.
That's amazing. It's like how to keep fucking werewolves away.
Yeah. So that was that more interesting than the eventual movie?
That was a lot funnier than the actual movie. A lot. It was so genuine, and this guy was just so big, and he was like such an oaf. And just him saying that, I loved it. I loved it.
So my thought, my prediction, the reason I didn't go see Pain and Gain, because I feel like I saw 30 seconds of it, and I knew exactly how the entire movie was going to play out. Like, yeah. I know what Michael Bay does. He's not very funny. Like, the problem with
here's my problem with him is he's not funny, and yeah. This seemed like a movie that was all about, ha-ha, look at how funny I am.
Yeah. Like, his thing is being painfully earnest, like Armageddon, where he's like, oh, here's a bunch, like, here's me trying to make an epic, and it's sort of a fun in a...
But see, I enjoy the little...
This schlock fun.
Yeah, when I enjoy the little one-liners in Armageddon or in Bad Boys or in The Rock or whatever, because it's not totally shoehorned in.
Right? It's not necessarily overtly funny. It's just sort of...
But there are lines I think, like, Transformers, I think, was horribly unfunny in a lot of the scenes.
That's where all the, like, bad attempts at humor sort of started.
Because it's really juvenile. You know, there's, like, a robot humping Megan Fox's leg. Mm-hmm. Or a robot has testicles. Like, what the fuck, man? That shit's not funny, man. But with the other stuff, I enjoy it more. And this one just seemed like a bunch of his juvenile humor.
Oh, certainly.
How spot on are we?
Oh, 100%.
Do you enjoy any of Michael Bay's work?
No, none of it. I don't like any of it. And I saw Armageddon when I was pretty young. And I knew that it was bullshit. And the only thing
that... It was a documentary. You didn't know that?
What?
It was a documentary.
No kidding.
No bullshit.
No shit.
Yeah, right before you were born, there was an asteroid.
That's incredible.
Nobody talks about it anymore except for Michael Bay. He's the only one that keeps it alive.
Yeah, so Stanley Kubrick...
I'm relieved that dog lived, though, in the very beginning.
Yeah.
I'm very relieved.
That was scary, right?
Yeah, that was... And now that it's a documentary, it's... I bet that
dog's
dead
he's
now,
actually dead now.
Yeah.
But he lived a few months after the movie ended.
Yeah, he had what is it called? It's called
radioactive poisoning.
Capture myopathy or something.
He had hoof and mouth disease.
Yeah,
it's rare in dogs.
The only
lack of hooves.
The only thing that the trailer left out was Tony Shalhoub celebrating the Shabbat, and The Rock beating up a homosexual priest.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. That's
Please funny. Explain the beating up a homosexual priest scene.
There was a priest. Okay, so the whole point is that The Rock is addicted to cocaine.
Okay.
And he's a little dumb, but he's into Jesus. So after he gets out of jail, he moves to Miami because he thought there'd be less trouble there. Uh-oh. And
That's
then,
hilarious already.
And then he goes to this church to, like, be a priest's assistant. Mm-hmm. And the priest offers him a glass of iced tea. And The Rock starts gulping it down, and then the priest touches his boob, and then he socks the priest in the face,
just right away.
Yeah, just pretty much. Well, so there's no blood in the movie. There's just a lot of spit. There's a lot of fake spit.
Like
fake spit.
Like they poured soap and water into the actors' mouths. So anytime anything happened to someone's face and there was a close up, they would just be like pouring just frothy spit.
Like
out
if they
of their
if
mouth.
They got punched in the face, there was a lot of slow mo with them spitting out.
Yeah, ton. And the slow mo is so slow.
That's the new thing.
It's so slow. Like between, for instance, in the trailer,
Michael Bay's got to do everything bigger, even slow motion.
Yeah.
Fucking A. it takes Mark Wahlberg like a full minute in slow motion walking across the street to get hit by a car that should be going at full speed. That car must be going like 80 miles an hour, and it takes a minute for that to happen, for all of that to go down. Mm-hmm. And just because they want to fit in all of this stupid voiceover, like, right. I love fitness.
Yeah. My name is so-and-so, and I like to lift.
It's Marky Mark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's wrong? I don't know what's wrong with that. So is the do you think the spit was like an attempt to make it sort of a side effect of steroids or cocaine, or was it just a visual choice?
It was a visual choice. The only character who really did a lot of cocaine beside the Ukrainian model was The Rock, and The Rock never really got punched in the face in slow-mo.
No one punches The Rock in the face, slow-mo or no-mo.
Yeah, because you know he's a bodybuilder, you know, and he's very virtuous.
Hold on, let me get this straight. There was a Ukrainian model in a Michael Bay movie?
Yeah, totally.
Is that the twist?
That's the twist. Let's see the twist.
I know it's a really complex movie. It sounds like
it's. I think the only genuine moment in that movie was when. And it's so subtle and it's so underplayed, so I think it actually made it like genuinely funny, was when Mark Wahlberg and that other dude got sentenced to death. And it was
spoiler alert.
Such a small fraction of a second. It was just like, oh yeah, death penalty. And they go, what? And then it just cuts to like a little end montage thing.
I kind of like that. That sounds good.
That's what it cuts to. It cuts to... the American flag waving through barbed wire.
Oh, wow. Everything's always an American flag with Michael Bay.
That's another thing. Like, people calling things un-American or American, that was every character, that was like their thing. It was just, oh, I'm doing this because it's American. Disrespecting fitness is un-American. I hate that. It's
like, oh. Yeah. I have this theory that, because I feel like if you watch a Michael Bay movie, everyone's either a slut or a clown. And I have this theory that just Michael Bay...
Or a transforming car.
Yeah, or a transforming car where he just walks through town and he has like this constant inner monologue being like, slut, slut, clown.
Transforming car.
Clown, slut, robot, clown, slut, clown, clown,
I'm going to blow slut. Them all up. I'm going to blow them all up real good.
Yeah.
I imagine... You know, sorry.
You know how when you watch enough of a very auteur-like... filmmaker, you start to see their tics.
Yeah,
because they've got something they want to like, they want to process out, and they tend to do that over the course of their whole careers. Like Michael Bay jumped into that his first movie. Like you could have picked out exactly what his tics are from probably scene two and whatever was it. Bad Boys was his
Bad
first
Boys
because he really doesn't have like it's about them having something to get off their chest. He really has nothing to get off his chest other than. Here's a pretty picture that I like. Like I mean, he's a commercial director. Like he still is. Like he makes a 2-hour movie and it's all like 30, all the jokes are like 1 second long.
Do you think that's what it is? If they just let him direct a commercial now at this point in his career that he could get up all of his chest and just stop. If they just gave him the opportunity to direct 1 30-second spot, it would absolve him of all of his sins.
No, it's not about opportunity. I just think that's the way his brain works, and he doesn't change that.
I would watch a Michael Bay commercial.
He does great commercials. Have you seen Aaron Burr? That's a Michael Bay commercial.
Oh, that's a good commercial.
Got Milk? Yeah.
Wait, what?
The original Aaron Burr Got Milk commercial is Michael Bay.
What is the slogan that you're using?
Got Milk?
Yeah, what is that? Is that sounds funny and clever.
Right? Yeah, I think he invented that.
Yeah. It's like if you don't have milk, it's asking you like, do you got it? Milk? It's really funny.
It's shaming all those without refrigerators.
Zeke, do you remember Got Milk?
Oh yeah, I had a collection of photography from the ad campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
Like with the different celebrities with the milk mustache?
Yeah, definitely.
What was your favorite one? Which one stands out?
What's her fucking name?
Estella Warren.
the chick with the thing.
Miley Cyrus.
The thing. She's
Sarah
had boobies.
Lawrence in college.
Most women have boobs.
Joe's just calling in like a boss, huh?
I might have called him.
Why?
Because I told him 7:15. It's 22.
Who's got the healthiest pussy?
Is that you?
Hello?
You.
You do, Joe. We all know you do.
I have a really healthy pussy.
Really? How do you know? Do you have it? I mean, do you take it to... Do you get checkups, regular checkups?
It's just got a really fucking really solid pink peachy color to it.
I imagine Joe's...
I can tell it's good blood flow.
I imagine Joe's pussy being put on like a Westminster dog show stage and someone just cupping its balls.
Yep. That would be awesome.
It's ovaries?
They should do those. They should just have at strip clubs, they should have every once in a while the strippers come out with their pussies like on a leash. And then
just trot them around.
Like numbers on their pussies, yeah.
Do you like
a show
pussy?
Pony that only trots.
Joe, how's the beef?
Yeah, and they trot holding their pussy, but it's them trotting, but then they have a little chain around their pussy.
Do you like saying pussy? Because I don't like saying it, because I think I say it like a bitch.
You are correct in assuming that.
Hold on one second.
What is he doing?
Hey, is Brandon not there anymore?
Brandon?
Yeah. Where'd he go?
He's in Mexico this week.
I just miss, like, every once in a while, the fucking Buffalo Bill boys creeping in, just like, Joe, your pussy. I have a question for Joe.
We all miss that, Joe. He does do that.
Right?
Joe, how's the Beef Rider video coming along?
Dude, Beef Rider's been going good. So apparently there was like a genocide of Armenians at some point, like in the early 1900s.
Yes, it's true.
And now, like once a year on that day, they block traffic so nobody can get home in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. To remind everybody that there's an Armenian genocide. So that's what's happening today. And it's really funny because my friend, we were driving in the car, my friend was like so mad that the traffic was this bad. He's like, they keep doing this, there's going to be another genocide. They're going to be so bad. I was like,
That's some serious road rage.
I don't mean to offend you, Viz. I know you're Armenian, so.
Yeah, I'm lighting. You don't see me. I'm lighting this candle. Actually, it's already lit. It's this eternal flame that I have.
Keep it in your pocket.
Just to remember my people. You know, how they died.
Dude, what happened? Like, what happened? Did people, like, a lot of people die, or did just you guys run out of fila dough?
It was much like that.
Was there fila dough shortage? Everybody, uh-huh. This is terrible.
That's a famous Jewish genocide.
Genocide jokes.
There was a phila dough shortage. It was the great lavash drought of 1910. Nobody had lavash. You know what it was? Is we ran out of sticks to make the kebabs, and everybody was trying to cook it over the fire, but they didn't know how to cook the meat without the stick.
It kept falling into the grill.
Yeah, exactly. And it was really hard.
Oh, I hard gotcha.
Times all around.
Dude. Was it kebab? Like, kebab's a very primitive form of eating meat. I think we should be condoning that.
It's very refined. It's all very cut up, and it's very fine, and it grills up very nicely, very evenly.
Yeah, they had a no.
It was refined like BC 320.
No, they had a bizarre food. I can't remember if it was bizarre. Yeah, it was bizarre foods where he went to the Kalahari Bushmen, and you know, to like experience their cuisine. And, like, the way that Kalahari Bushmen cooked food was basically, like, they'd build a fire and, like, they'd get the ground real hot. And then they'd take an ostrich egg or something and then just sort of dump it in the dirt. Or they'd take meat and they just dump it in the dirt. Like, for some reason, you know, they have trees. They have all the tools to sort of build, like, a barbecue grill or, like, a spit. But for some reason, just, you know, thousands and thousands of years and their culture is just like, nope, we're gonna take this egg and just dump it right in the hot dirt. And so he's eating it and he's like picking, you know, he's picking bits of wood and stuff out of this like dirt omelet. And he's like, well, that's just how they do it here.
Old is new.
Just cooking it right up.
But I heard Bushmen and ostrich eggs. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where the smell comes from. Because you guys were a Bushman, and then you had a lot of ostrich eggs. So that's why your guys are so smelly.
Okay.
All that cologne.
It could be. Oh, you mean the Armenians? No, that's not... No, that's the Kalahari. That's a separate thing.
Because Bushman...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
He's not sorry. He regrets
it. So bad. Kalahari Bushman, we're here, we're making kebabs, now what? Fuck you, we gonna motherfucking not genocide anymore. Blah, 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 blah. Right?
That's the number one hit out there.
Right?
And yo, you better back up, we ain't gonna take your genocide no more. We the Kalahari Bushman and we got kebabs. Take this fucking block of land, shove it up your ass, bitch, out of the concentration camps we rose. Now we gonna eat all these motherfucking lavash. Eat them up, lavash, lavash.
This is really good rap.
Thanks, dude. I just want to show support for it. By the way,
sometimes Joe will be like,
I hope I'm not offending you, Vince, because I don't condone genocide.
Right.
Unless, no, I'm kidding. I have nothing to say after that. Except when somebody, but I there was a bear, there was this bear, like, you know how Glendale's like, there's all these Armenians there, right?
Yeah,
and they live there. And there was this bear that had like creeped in from the mountains and was going through.
I don't like where this
he
is
was
going
eating
already.
All the trash in Glendale, uh-huh. And they called him the Baklava Bear. And they took this fucking bear and they relocated him like somewhere. Like, I don't know, they put him back in nature or wherever the fuck that is. And he, like, came back, like, fucking 100 miles or some fucking crazy distance and came back to Glendale. I guess, like, once they put a spot as, like, a spot with, like, food on their mental map, they never forget. This is a stupid story. I feel like it was a terrible story. I should never have told it. Guys, I'm sorry.
The Baklava Bear is pretty good.
Baklava Bear. Yo, dude.
That should be I would like that as a UFC nickname.
Hey, yeah, hold on, guys. And then the Kalahari Bushman, and then they fucking dig the hole in the ground, and then the guy, he came by, and he's like, I don't like it, and then they all came by, and there's sticks in the ground, and then that's why they took the thing, and... that's my imitation of the story.
Okay.
This is the worst podcast I've ever done. I'm sorry, guys.
Joe,
I won't ever do your
the
podcast again.
Baklava Bear, Sinclitico. Joe, some questions from the readers / listeners. They wanted to know.
Did they really send in questions?
Yeah, they did.
People like you.
Yeah, they wanted to know, first of all, Sinclitico versus King, how has the transition been going?
Somebody said something on a podcast on like one of the comments where they were like, I don't get fucking why they think Joe is funny. He's so stupid. He's like that one character that they do where they play the bro guy, like the frat bro guy. That's what he is, but in real life. Do you know what I'm talking about?
How did that make you feel, Joe?
It's fucking lame, bro. Like, come on, dude. Come on, bro. I actually love it. Like on my YouTube, if you go on there, I have a bit about Tupac. And for some reason, like, all these people, like, really, like, they would make Tupac a patron saint. And not even, like, bashing Tupac. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they find it really offensive that I'm even, like, making a joke that references Tupac.
Which is strange because I've seen that in real time.
What'd you say?
It's strange because when I've seen that in real time, it's usually the people that like Tupac are more inclined to like that joke.
Yeah, exactly. They're the most... And, but like, all these people are like, don't quit your day job, bro. And one of my favorite one was, fuck this piece of white trash. Or he goes, fuck this fucking piece of white trash. Somebody should kill this fucking idiot. Why are you like, you want to kill me, bro? Because I did a Tupac shit. Kill this fucking guy, get him! Let's kill this fucking guy's YouTube videos. Fuck! Let's find him and fucking kill him.
People have strong opinions.
Especially on YouTube, apparently.
Well, that is that is the subtitle, YouTube, a place for strong opinions.
So, Joe.
That makes me sad.
Joe, the name change. How has it been going?
Well, but I do want to just say that whoever wrote that comment on Facebook, fuck you, motherfucker. You come find me, you fucking bitch. Okay, but what are you going to say? Shake my face!
We're just wondering how the name change went. That's all. You know.
To Joe Sinclitico?
Yeah.
It's going all right, man. I mean... I don't know. I still have no career, so that's hasn't changed. Holding steady with zero career to speak of.
Have you ever thought of compromising your style to sort of be more?
Yeah, totally. I've been like, dude, how can I just? I want to just be more mainstream and make as much money as possible. And like, I just want to be the guy, like that guy. And then I go up and then like, I try to do like clean jokes. And then like, it's just like, I don't know, dude. It's just like a fucking being like one of those guys that like shows your dick to like people in public or something. Like at some point you just kind of snap and you're like, fuck it. I gotta do it.
Wait,
kind of what happens to me. And so I'm up on stage and then just like halfway through, I'm trying to do like clean jokes about my family or something or my job. And then I just end up being like, you ever cut off a chick's pussy and feed it to your pit bull? Or whatever.
Feed it to your pit bull? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I feel like, well, here's the thing. I feel like we're going through a really, I don't know how to say this, like a mundane stage. I don't want to say that like it's a bad thing. Like I do like Louis C.K., but like, I mean, I love Louis C.K. He's definitely like top five of comedians for me, but like his whole, he's like the most popular stand-up in the world right now, and his whole shtick is very mundane. It's very deadpan, sort of dry,
also about a lot of like detailed stuff, but like sort of digging into.
Yeah,
details
he's like
of
Mr.
Life.
Logic. He's like,
yeah.
How come? You know, or yeah.
Yeah, so it's sort of. So I feel like the sort of absurd, more absurd things are maybe a little out of favor to some extent. But geared towards over-examining...
Without being in the comedian's world like you guys are, I think the more absurd stuff will be a tougher sell or a tougher play to a larger audience most of the time.
I feel like it's just like a pendulum sort of thing.
Well, who's more absurd that has been bigger? Even in the past.
Definitely people feel like, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely that thing. Well, I you know, it's funny, like, people have a weird sense about, like, I like absurd stuff, and then I also like dark stuff. And I feel like, I don't know, even other comedians can be weird about that. Like, they don't, they're just, like, a little bit afraid, or it makes them feel uncomfortable.
Or there isn't as much crossover between the two?
Yeah, like, it's weird that, like, even, like, within the comedy community, like, how I feel like sometimes other stand-up comedians have terrible fucking taste in comedy. But I guess that makes sense, right? Because, like, if you're a musician, there's going to be people that are like, fuck, dude, oh, God, I wish I could play guitar like that guy Nickelback. And then they start playing guitar.
Yeah.
With that in mind.
Well, guitar, I mean, comedy's also, like, insanely subjective. Like, you can find 100 people on the street and you know, 95 of them will say they don't care about comedy, but they all have, all 100 of them have really specific opinions on what they think is funny.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, I think, especially with stand-up, so much of it is, like, charisma and like, the character that you are when you're on stage. Like, for instance, like, people always talk about Louis C.K., that he didn't get, I mean, people are, it kind of bothers me sometimes when people are like, Louis C.K., hey, man, Louis C.K. didn't get a break till he was, like, he didn't break till he was, you know, much older. He's like 44. I'm like, yeah, but he was also, like, getting offered the head writer position at Conan O'Brien when he was 26. You know, so it's like, he's been in the game, like, at a high level for a long fucking time, and everybody knew who he was. It's just he didn't cross over into that, like, mega majillion dollar, you know.
He was making money, he just wasn't a name for until recently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he, like, even him, he's a perfect example. He's like, if you look at, like, his older persona, I mean, it was the same guy telling jokes on stage in the same style, but he was skinny and he had hair, he had some hair, and he would dress in, like, a suit. And then when he got all, like, fat and schlubby is when everybody, like, really started to love him. And, like, there's something, there's definitely a lot about the way that he looks.
Yeah.
That it's like people are not threatened by him in any way, you know. And then, I mean, there's other comedians too that I think, like, they get a lot of play because they're kind of like the cool dude, you know. They seem like the cool dudes that everybody would want to hang out with, or what, you know.
Or they're, or like,
I don't know what it
like
is.
Like, when I see promos for, like, Gabriel Iglesias, I don't think any of his jokes are particularly good. It's sort of, he's gotten, like, he's sort of a human cartoon character. And so, you know, any comic knows that for the most part, if people aren't there to see you and they just see you once, they're not going to remember any of your jokes. They're just going to remember whether they like you or not. It's either or no.
And whether they had fun overall.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I feel like there's certain comics that are like, well, that guy, he's sort of like a human cartoon character, and I just remember that I had fun when I was watching him. Like, they don't necessarily remember any of the guy's jokes.
Yeah, well, especially when you're more of that bigger mainstream where you're just kind of rapid firing stuff, and it's not a lot of bigger stories with, where it's not a lot of laughs in between, and then it sort of leads up to this big punchline, or whatever you want to call it, where I think, I don't know Gabriel Iglesias' work, but I would think it's more rapid fire sort of punchline stuff over and over.
Possibly. Yeah.
Who are the other big comedians, stand-up comedians these days? There's Louis C.K., Daniel Tosh, when he cruises around, is probably pretty popular. Who else is...
Anthony Jeselnik's got a show now, which is a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I actually like it a lot.
So, Joe, have you ever been lucky enough to see...
Can you hear me?
Joe?
Yes. Yes, we can.
No, I was going to say one of the interesting things... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Jesus, yes, we can.
Okay. You can definitely hear me. Is this an Armenian Day joke that you're doing? Is this something you fucking do on the Day of Remembrance? Here we are. Dude, so, but yeah, Gabriel Iglesias is like, there's like a few comics that are like pretty famous, like really, really famous guys that always put out like shit on television and always are touring. And do specials and stuff, but you never see them like in the clubs. Like they never come into the like that. Who's that fucking really famous fucking guy? God damn it! Not Jim Gaffigan, but the dude that's like he's a clean comic that everybody loves.
Rob Delaney.
Regan.
Brian Regan.
Yeah, Brian Regan. Like no one's ever. I've never heard of anybody saying like I saw Brian Regan in a comedy club like working out material.
But is that just because he's sort of like going around the middle America sort of thing, or?
Yeah, I guess he just does it on like you know in his shows he just kind of works it in somehow and works it out that way.
Is he a theater guy?
I think he's been doing.
But like you know, Bill Burr and like Louis C.K. like even those like I've seen Louis C.K. a bunch of times in clubs. You know those guys were always. In the clubs working out material, so I don't know how the other people do it, if they just do it in their theater shows, but it seems like such a crazy way to work out material.
So people had a few more questions for you.
What was the first one?
They asked how the transition from Cyclitica, or from King to Cyclitica has been going, last name-wise.
You should block that person.
Okay. They wanted to know if you had any more movie ideas. Perhaps from specific genres like Bollywood, or maybe an idea for a Pauly Shore vehicle.
I did have a few that I kind of came out with. I wasn't sure how. Let's see, where do I start with? I had one that. What was that one movie? This is like this. This plane goes down.
Okay.
With a rugby team on it. A plane goes down with a rugby team on it
like
in the middle of Antarctica.
Right, okay.
Like what?
Just like alive.
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
So the rugby team goes down in the middle of Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
And the plane crashes, and they have no food.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where were they flying to?
What do you mean?
Where were they
flying? They were flying to a rugby game.
Oh, okay.
So,
good answer, by the way.
So the plane goes down.
Right, right.
The plane goes down. They don't have any food. This is like one of those classic things. What would you do to survive? Human instinct. What kicks in? Because these guys, they have no food. So now they're fucking starving.
Right.
Some of them are dying.
Okay.
They have they're fucking in misery. And so they kind of like, they finally like reach the breaking point and they just start shitting on each other's dicks, just fucking butt fucking each other. Because they're trying to get their mind off the fact that they're starving. So they're just fucking each other. They're fucking the dead guys. They're just fucking each other so hard.
Okay. All right.
And it's like, what would you do? You know, it's like, well, I don't know what I would do in that position, you know?
So does it just end like in the middle of the big orgy?
They get saved. Some of them get saved. They decide to cross over the mountains. But they don't ever stop butt-fucking. Because they're trying to get their minds off it. So they're just like in a one long butt-fucking train.
As the cum is dripping out of their assholes, does it freeze into icicles?
Who is that? That was an unfamiliar voice. Who was that?
that's our intern, Zeke.
Oh, that's so fucking hilarious. It was like such a... I didn't know that voice. It was so enthusiastic. It's like, as the cum is dripping out of their asshole, I was like, yes. Who is that? Like that guy.
And if they don't put the dicks in soon, the spit on them freezes, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's
what I'm
saying.
It turns into a dicksicle.
Yep. Yes. 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 The next one is called...
Okay, there's another idea. This is a separate idea.
Yeah, this one's called Chloroform Up in the Dorm. And it's kind of like a Porky's movie.
Okay.
But it's about, like, having fun, roofing chicks. Like, it's like a fucking 2013 Porky's.
It's Chloroform Up in the Dorm.
Chloroform Up in the Dorm.
I'm trying to remember the plot of Porky's.
It was summer camp shenanigans.
Okay. So it's sort of like...
Summer camp shenanigans, blah, 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 Jason Biggs, fucking head gets squished into vice, collapsed.
Jason Biggs, his head gets squished into vice. Okay, so that'll
at some
be
point,
like...
yeah.
That'll be sort of the new gross-out scene. Instead of fucking a pie, he just sort of gets his head squished into vice for some reason.
Dude, chloroform, and I like the idea of, like, the frat, or, like, hazing. And it's, like, just hazing gone awry. They're like, nobody ever makes it into Sigma Chi. Why is that? Every year, four pledges disappear. And then maybe it's like a saw. They fucking, whatever, this is stupid. So, all right, the fucking, let's see, guys. I didn't really come up with I didn't really figure out what this one was about. I just pile driving Miss Daisy. I didn't know if it was senior orgies or literally like there's like a wrestler who just does way too many steroids and his fucking veins are like his eyes are bleeding from how fucking roided out and amped up he is.
Is that
and he just breaks in. He just breaks into fucking old folks home and just starts pile driving people.
Okay.
Just hips are cracking, neck snapping. Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
It's not about race equality in the World Wrestling Federation?
Yeah, like you could get any one of those guys. I don't remember any of their names, but...
Chris Benoit? Or the Ultimate Warrior?
Ultimate Warrior...
Undertaken? Okay.
This one's called Coyote Run 2, Wanna Come to the U.S.? And it's like Cannonball Run.
Okay.
It's all the fucking original cast of Cannonball Run, but they play Mexicans.
Okay.
And... it's like a Cannonball Run, but they're running, they're coyote runners. Mm-hmm. So they're just carrying illegal immigrants over the border in a wild, raucous race.
Right. Well, what happened in Coyote Run 1?
Cannonball or Coyote Run 1?
I don't know, but it didn't have nearly as cool of a title. I just feel like you can't have Coyote Run 1. Wanna come to the U.S. spelled like Juan with an A, wink, wink, and then
so it's Juan.
You know what I mean? Like, you can only do that
A hyphen come Juan a come
C U M though.
Oh no.
Yeah, you can't have a colon in the title if it's number one.
That's true.
I think.
Wanna come to the U.S.
Okay.
So coyote runners. Mm-hmm. But I'm just imagining like just dudes just fucking jumping stuff, and all these dudes in the back like just banging their heads on the wall in the back of like a U-Haul, like a white U-Haul.
Like you'd see you'd see the cars swerving, the truck swerving and jump doing over jumps and stuff, and then you know it'd cut to the what's going on in the back.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's crazy because they're just bouncing off the walls, and it is what it is. It's a sad issue we need to be taken care of. We need to address as a country.
This one's like
the Chronicles of Narnia.
All right.
Did you guys see the Chronicles of Narnia?
I saw the first one, I think.
All right, but you know how there's like a magical closet?
Right. Yeah, it's a wardrobe. Yeah. Same thing? Okay. Is that the same thing? It is the same thing, right? Yeah.
Kind of. Like, there's this girl, and she's, you know, she's just coming into her age. Mm-hmm. She's maybe 15. She's fucking has a move in with her uncle and her aunt that are very old. Her parents just died. I don't know how. Her parents just died of cholera or something.
Okay.
And she fucking finds a, and then she finds a thing like a wardrobe.
Right.
Maybe this is like the Lion, the Witch, and the, or is that, oh, that's Narnia, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's the first Narnia.
whatever, bro. Don't judge me.
Okay. So she finds the wardrobe.
They get inside the wardrobe. She gets inside the wardrobe. The first time, she's like, what is in there? She climbs inside the wardrobe. And she's in there. And then it's like all of a sudden she hears the lights go on. And she fucking... Hold on, bro. Just fucking hold your fucking horses.
Okay.
So she fucking... she sneaks into the fucking locker room, right? And
where did the locker room come from?
Yeah, so she sneaks in. She hears the fucking feet. She hears feet rumbling. She's like, "What the fuck is? Where am I?" The lights come on, and then she fucking. She looks out through the clothes. She gets a smell, right? She's like, what is that smell? Her tummy rumbles. And she's like, what is that smell? It's a smell. She realizes it's the smell of fucking sweaty cock meat. And so she peeks out through the wardrobe. And she sees what looks to be like a can of purple biscuits. With like half a tennis ball on the end.
A can of purple biscuits.
And she realizes it's Harrison Barnes from the Golden State Warriors cock. That she has transported her into the Golden State Warriors locker room.
So it's sort of like that scene from Revenge of the Nerds where they had the peephole, but sort of in reverse and magical.
Right, she was in the fucking, she's in the fucking, like, 1300s England. And now all of a sudden she's in the fucking Golden State Warriors locker room.
So she's sort of in there.
She's got a corset and chastity belt. And, dude, it sends her fucking synapses firing. Those things just start going, bing, 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 bing. And she's sweating and her tummy's rumbling. And then all of a sudden they see her in there. And they just fucking have a field day with her. The entire team just fucking tag teams her, bro. Just gets it, and she just loving every. Do you get?
But isn't she? And she's still dressed like a English girl from the 1300s. Like she's got, you know, her bustle.
They pass her around like a fucking bottle of soju at a Korean barbecue.
There's a smile for every tear.
Like she's got that sort of bonnet thing that Queen Elizabeth wears. Like, what? I mean, is she a noble woman, or is she more just?
She has those dresses that have the wire interior.
Okay. And the basketball players,
you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, they go crazy for it.
By the way, were those their original apple bottom jeans by Nelly?
What?
You know those fucking, you know those like English dresses that have the wireframe on the interior make the butt look all big?
Yeah.
Were those like supposed to make chicks' butts look juicy?
No, it makes their hips
like donkers.
Look wide. Yeah, no, they got the wide hips so they could have many kids to work the fields and things.
Yeah, that's a good, by the way, that's a good pickup line if you're ever in a bar and you just fucking... Just like grab a hold of it. You're talking to a chick, you kind of enter, just grab a hold of her hips. You should be like, you think it'd be good for breeding.
I can see that working.
That'd be a good way to start off a conversation.
Mm.
You got a juicy
You look like a good breeder.
We're going to breed this one.
Kind of like feel her arms. Like feel her arms and her back. Kind of check her out.
Yeah. What was that one called?
So, but anyways, he transports her into the NBA locker room. She gets fucking the ride of her life. And the team starts playing a lot better.
Okay. So, all right. So it's sort of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe meets
Major League or something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like that.
Yep.
No title?
Title.
I'll tell you what, guys. Fuji apples mm-hmm. over Red Delicious every day. Like, Red Delicious apples are just, who the fuck are, like, I know they're prettier, but who's still buying those things? They suck.
I agree. I'd take a Red Delicious, I'll take a Fuji or a Gala over yeah. Red Delicious any damn day.
I kind of think Gala is just the way to go. What do you think?
I mean, Gala and Fuji are pretty similar.
Fuji's more.
Yeah, and I feel like if you're eating a green apple, that we can't probably hang out ever.
The golden.
Just in general.
Golden Delicious. Fair, yeah, it's fair. We had a couple more questions.
I ran out of movie pitches.
That's fine. I mean, we had a couple other questions.
Which one of those was your favorite, though? Any of them? Did any of them stick?
The movie?
Yeah.
Let's see. We had The Plane in Antarctica.
I was a big fan of Chloroform Up in the Dorm.
Chloroform Up in the Dorm. Yeah, that's good. You know, I wasn't initially on board, but then the Jason Biggs head in a vice sort of won me back.
When I realized that the woman was from the 1300s, I did like the modern version of Lion, Witch, in the Wardrobe a little bit.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought it was just like a modern, you know, it was like Miley Cyrus or something.
Mm-hmm.
Reader wanted to know if you had a favorite dead baby joke.
No, but I have that one. I mean, one of my favorite jokes is just that one where the little boy and the pedophile are walking through the woods, and the little boy grabs the pedophile's arm and goes, "I'm scared," and the pedophile goes, "You're scared. I gotta walk out of here by myself."
I don't think that's technically a dead baby joke, but I do like that joke.
Yeah, but it's in the same. I mean, it's a dead kid.
Same ballpark. Right, correct.
It's a dead child joke.
That's true. Yeah. I think.
Eating motherfuckers' butts.
I feel like I'm still reeling. I'm always reeling from your segments. I don't know how to recover from them.
From which one?
Just you, in general.
Dude, have you been at comedy clubs and people are already doing jokes about Boston?
I haven't been this week. I'm not sure.
I feel like I'm definitely not like a sacred cow type of guy, obviously, where I'm like, don't make jokes about this. But for some reason, it bothers me when comics, I feel like, are just trying to be edgy by making jokes. It's like making jokes about current events that just like tragedy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think, you shouldn't joke about that.
I don't know if that happens
just...
in San Francisco as much as in L.A., but in L.A. there's definitely, like, a thing, like, if you go to a club after a fucking, which there was probably only one that I even heard, which was, like, somebody said, like, Boston is so white trash that even their terrorists are white trash or something like that. I thought it was kind of funny, because those guys were definitely looked white.
That wasn't good.
Yeah, but, like, there's definitely, like, a thing in L.A. where you go to, like, the comedy clubs, it's like, dudes are, like, especially, like, the more amateur type rooms, it's like everybody's trying to be edgy and, like, make jokes about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's, like, if you really had something, like, interesting to say, that's cool, but I don't know.
Names. We need names.
Yeah.
It's a pet peeve.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people who says, oh, you shouldn't joke about that, but it's more... you should wait till you have a joke about that. Like, I don't believe in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, here's a premise. I don't get the thing where people have a premise and they feel like they need to write a joke about it when they have none. You know.
Yeah.
Like, if you think of something funny about that, go for it. But spare us the part where you try to think of something funny about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
You mean they're like when they're that you don't ever like work out bits like that?
Just saying? I don't know. Not really.
Like you always have a fully constructed joke.
Well, I have an idea of what it would be and where it would go. I don't. Yeah.
All right, Mr. Fancy Pants.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a great improviser for one thing. So. Yeah. So Joe, thanks a lot again.
I saw. Okay, you got more questions?
No.
I saw Place Behind the Pines last night.
What'd you think?
Dude, I don't get why everybody wants to fuck that guy Ryan Gosling so much. Like, I get it. He's like handsome, but there's definitely like a weird pack mentality with women where it's like, if they all, they're like, he's pre-qualified. He's the hottest guy out right now. It's like every chick, even chicks that like aren't into things that like mainstream, like everybody loves this guy. Like they all seem to love Ryan Gosling. I think he's super hot.
For some reason,
it's just a weird phenomenon because guys aren't like that. Like, I'd much rather. What'd you say?
I said I'd have him give me a hand job.
You'd give me a hand job?
No, I would let Ryan Gosling give me a hand job.
Who wouldn't?
Don Johnson. You'd let Don Johnson have a. What the fuck does this have to do with anything? Why would Don Johnson give you a hand job, bro? There's no reason.
He's gotten to that stage in his career. You know, he's up for anything. I don't know. I like Ryan Gosling. I think he's a handsome man.
He releases his albums on vinyl. Come
I
on.
Do. I think he's a handsome man too. But it's like, I think as guys, we're not all just like we like I would much rather like there. I would much rather see that there's a chick that works at this McDonald's by my house. And she's probably like 19, and she's kind of undercover hot. And it's like every time I go to McDonald's, I just like, I want to see her. Like, I'd much rather see her pussy than like Charlize Theron's pussy.
Yeah, but guys do the same thing.
That's my point.
Guys do the same thing where like, we're 1 week, you can't walk two steps without hearing about Kate Upton or Megan Fox. Like, there's definitely. Like Kate Upton's to the point where I'm almost like, dude, I fucking get it. She's hot already. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. She just has those big fat fucking tits.
Right. So what do you think about Place Beyond the Pines?
Which are great. I kind of she does have really good. How are her nipples? Now let's talk about those. What do those look like, bro? Yo, dude, I like big nipples. Me, I like. I don't trust Vince. One of the reasons I don't trust Vince is he's a boob guy. I just feel like boob guys are kind of shady.
You know
what I mean? Like I'm an ass guy. Ass guys are so much more classy. It's like I feel like we're, you know, it's like boob guys are much more like. This boob, I'm boobs. It's boobs, beer, bro. Fucking Viking helmets.
What?
You know what I mean?
No,
I don't trust them. It's like cat people versus dog people. I like boobs too. I like cats too, but dogs are so much better. Like you can do so much more with them, and it's like there's not a single hole in a boob.
I think boob guys and butt guys are all acceptable. The only thing that I do not cotton. Is the foot fetish guys?
Those guys are gone.
Me and
Get
foot fetish
here.
Guys cannot hang out. Sorry.
Those are like that's like a dude that likes birds. You're like cool man. I don't like cats or dogs. I like birds.
Yeah,
nice, all right,
nice parrot man.
I'm a go.
Yeah, fair enough. So all right, so Place Beyond
like
the Pines. You like butts, but not parrots. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, although I do think it would be cool to have a pet owl.
Yeah, certainly.
Do you think that'd be sick?
I do.
To have a pet owl.
Barn owls. They got that sort of white feathers with the brown.
What's Mola? You know that famous owl Mola online.
What?
Dude, there's this famous YouTube video. You guys pull it up. There's a famous YouTube video of this British girl petting her pet owl. I think it's named Mola. And it's like the cutest thing I've ever seen. It made me want to have an owl.
I haven't seen that. That sounds good. Dude,
it's awesome.
It out. All right, Joe. It's been real. I got to let you go.
All right, bro. I hope you guys had fun. I really had a great time. You guys are awesome. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Joe King is pretty on Twitter.
Joe King is pretty.
You should probably lock down Joe Sinclitico is pretty, too.
Do you think I should change it? I should just change it from Joe King is pretty to Joe Sinclitico.
If they let you do that.
Oh my God, that's going to break the wow.
Can I give you my opinion about The Place Beyond the Pines?
I was trying to get it for a while, but you just wanted to talk about owls.
Yeah, well, baby owls are.
She's petting it. It's adorable. It's the best owl I've ever seen.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, it's spectacular.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
How much do you want that thing? And it's all...
All right. Yeah. Could you guys stay on track here?
Yeah, I would love this, man. I'm so happy.
That owl fucking loves cuddles.
Okay. So, Place Beyond the Pines.
Place Beyond the Pines, dude. I think that guy is going to make like a fucking awesome, awesome movie at some point. I like Blue Valentine better than this one a little bit, but yeah, I kind of get what I see what you're saying about it's like really depressing.
Yeah.
But, it was more enjoyable than I thought. I liked the like scope of it. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
That it
was ambitious.
There was so many, it spanned so much time and like, you know, there was a lot more happening in it than I expected. And I dug that.
Yeah. It just, I don't know. It seemed like it was about the inevitability of families in a way that wasn't necessarily true. And it just sort of felt like it was trying to be serious in a way that I don't know. It seemed like it was trying to make an impact by being serious in a way that wasn't necessarily true.
Yeah, there was definitely like an element of it that seemed kind of like magical.
Yeah,
that seemed kind of corny.
Yeah, romantic.
You know?
Yeah, it was like romanticized melancholy.
Yeah, and that was. But by the way, that kid that plays the fucking Jersey, he plays Bradley Cooper's son.
Yeah.
Wow, that kid's amazing. He's such a fuck. Like the minute he took the screen, I was like, I fucking hate this person.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're worried.
Like, I did think the performances in that movie were outstanding. Like, Ray Liotta, god damn, that dude just fucking was the most menacing motherfucker I've ever. Like, he was terrifying.
Yeah. And Ben Mendelsohn, yeah. I think, is going to win an Oscar in the next 5 years for sure.
Oh, yeah, that guy was fucking awesome. Yeah. He's so good. He's so good. And he does, like, weird shit that, like, he does like really weird kind of, he makes really, I hate using the word choices, but he does like stuff that is not like flattering or like cool in any way that I think like maybe like an American actor would not make that, you know, choice. Like they would try to seem a little bit like smoother on screen. Like he's kind of like at times he's like kind of herky jerky and like annoying and I don't know. I like watching him, yeah, dude, it was a fucking... I liked it a lot, though. I mean, I didn't, like, love it, but it didn't, like, wow me at the end. It kind of seemed to just fizzle.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, enjoyed the whole movie.
I'm with you.
Don't you think that guy will make, like, a fucking really... a really sick movie at some point? I mean, he seems like he's on track to make, like, a banger.
No, I don't think he will.
Really?
No, I don't know. I think he's...
Vince met with him.
He's a good guy. I just... he's a little bit... he's just slightly pretentious. Like, I don't know. If I don't know. Maybe he'll get through that. Like, he's one of those guys that's really, really good at what he does. And I'm not... You know, you can't take that away from him. But he's also... I don't know. He has a certain sensibility that I don't relate to. Which is slightly...
It is very like this is important.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
My movie is
yeah.
important.
Like, he wants to
Whereas,
make an important
like, somebody
movie.
Like, yeah, like somebody like Quentin Tarantino, it's like, it becomes, like, it becomes just so fucking, like, just by its sheer awesomeness, it becomes important. Like, he never is trying to force it into importance. Does
no,
that make
just
sense?
Trying to make, he's trying to please himself more so than...
Derek, see a friend.
Yeah, like, he just makes it so fuck. It just becomes so good that you're like, wow, this is amazing.
Derek, see a friend, thinks that gritty means an abortion scene without gore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. All right, Joe.
More abortion scenes, though.
Indeed.
In his movies.
All right, so go to your local video store and check out Chloroform in the Dorm. Joe King is pretty
good. Chloroform in the Dorm.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Gross at this. Nice meeting you, Zeke.
Nice meeting you, too.
All right, bye, guys.
Man, the recesses of that man's brain.
I know. Like, I've always said he's sort of like the Harmony Korine of comedians.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Brett, we still got you?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, Brett.
So I saw The Big Wedding.
Ooh, it sounded terrible.
All right, so opening scene.
But so, first of all, I thought Katherine Heigl movies were illegal. Is that didn't pass?
No, we did not get that passed.
That's a bummer. So I need to go out and petition again.
Yeah,
well, there was
do.
A lot of out-of-state money that came into play that we weren't expecting. So yeah. I think 2014, we can really just keep her out of cinema.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mormon Church and the NRA has sort of teamed up, and they got their lobby together, and they really they pushed for more Katherine Heigl movies.
It's such a bummer.
And we got The Big Wedding, which was an odd movie because
I haven't even heard of this one.
Right. So it's a – oh, first of all, so I go to the screening.
Is this a full release or is it more of
an
indie?
It's a full release.
Not an indie type.
It's not a
– Not a half release?
Not a half release. It's a full release. It's got Robert De Niro, Diane Keaton, Susan Sarandon. Katherine Heigl.
How is Diane Keaton?
Amanda Seyfried. They're all good. You know, so it's a good cast.
So they picked the retired Hollywood actors.
Yeah. They got Topher Grace is in it.
Mm.
Topher Grace always manages to get a lot of ass in rom-coms. And I'm like, is that just a weird fantasy where they want Topher Grace to get laid a lot? I don't understand.
He's really rich.
Mm. Well, that is, but it's not. Yeah. Like, if he was playing as himself, then yeah, I could see that.
Well, his name wasn't Topher Grace.
But he's basically just playing a guy who looks like Topher Grace.
Mm-hmm.
So at the screening, apparently there was a few people that dressed up to come to a screening of The Big Wedding. Like, they dressed in
wedding garb?
Like, in wedding garb. And I'm just wondering...
Wait, how desperate do you have to be for a dress-up occasion to do that?
That's, yeah, exactly.
Like, if you want it that badly, just wear the suit around your house. You can be Don Draper in your dreams. Just wear it to bed.
That's a weird, first of all, a weird outfit to wear to a movie, and second of all, a weird movie to dress up for.
Just a weird occasion all around.
Yeah, that's a lot of weird going on.
So the movie, there's sort of a love triangle thing going on.
Is it just
on.
A terrible generic rom-com?
Well, that's the thing. It is and it isn't. Like, it hit every single rom-com cliche.
He's breaking out his notebook.
I'm breaking out the notebook.
Because
I had to write down just, like every single rom-com cliche that it did hammer, because it hammered a lot of them. But at the same time, it was also R-rated and, like, sort of, as Laramie described it, he was like, this is kind of like American Pie for 70-year-olds.
Interesting.
Like, it does have this element of being this weird sex comedy for old people. And,
so what are the old people jokes?
And it was already, you know, it was like full R.
What's the old people jokes?
For the first scene, Diane Keaton is Robert De Niro's ex-wife. And so she's like coming home to their house that they built for their son's wedding. And so she's in the house.
Built the house for the wedding?
No. Well, it's the house that – it's their family home.
That is going to be where the wedding will take
place. Yeah, that she no longer lives in. Now Robert De Niro lives there with Susan Sarandon. So the opening scene, Diane Keaton arrives to this house. She's showing up to her old house. She walks in, so she's sort of like puttering around the house, seeing all her ex-husband's pictures with his new wife. And she's sort of standing in the corner as they come in, and they don't see her. And the first scene is... He goes down on Susan Sarandon. Like, he lifts Susan Sarandon up, like, on a desk and, like, pulls her dress up and is about to go down on her and before he realizes that Diane Keaton is in the room.
Oh, hey. there, Diane.
Yeah.
Didn't see you there.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I'm not one of those people who wants to rip on people for being old, because that seems like a short-sighted thing to make fun of someone for.
Well, looks eventually will be there, is that what you mean?
Exactly, yeah. God willing, I will be old someday. And I don't
Do you
think,
believe in God, Vince?
I don't, just don't. You're just stopping me. This is
I believe
very,
in his will.
This is not good. Yes, and. yeah, so I don't know. But at the same time, I really don't want to see 70-year-old Robert De Niro going, like, doing oral on
show,
Susan Sarandon.
Was it, did they show everything?
They did not show Full Bush, which I was also. Maybe that's what I was disappointed by. I'm projecting. So that's all right. So that's one scene. I mean, that is already a cliche. Like the sex when someone else is in a room. They totally did that in that movie.
That's just not a funny thing.
He's just not that into you. They did that, and he's just not that into you.
Do they do the thing where they have children around, and then they like talk frankly about sex to them? Like,
yeah,
there hey, was kids, no, you like pussy.
There was no precocious child. That was the one that I didn't see them do. But you know, they did. The Robert De Niro and Diane Keaton are divorced, but you know they rekindle the magic. They do the list where the chick has a list for this guy to do before she'll have sex with him. That's a good old. I believe Justin Halpern even brought that up when he was talking about the most like fucked out sitcom plots. He brought up that one, and he brought up the thing where. Someone comes to town, or the boss comes to dinner, and they have to pretend. Like there's a whole plot where Diane Keaton and Robert De Niro have this son, right? And it's supposedly this adopted Colombian son, which is, and his wife's parents are totally racist towards him, which is hilarious because the guy who's playing the supposed Colombian is literally a British dude with a bad fake tan.
Okay, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in already.
So anyway, so...
And, where does Katherine Heigl
and
fit
so,
into all
so
this?
his mom from Colombia is going to come in, and she's religious, so she doesn't believe in divorce. So now Diane Keaton and Robert De Niro are going to have to pretend that they're still married for the weekend, which is...
Like,
oh, my God.
Literally...
So it's like the Birdcage.
Literally the oldest... Yeah, exactly. Literally
how many,
the oldest...
How many writers slit their wrists on that particular scene?
Right.
Do you think they went through like seven writers who just couldn't take more and just sliced
lost,
it over?
Lost another one.
Yeah.
So other
they have it written into their budgets. Like, look, the scene is bullshit, and we're going to lose at least three mediocre writers in the process.
Yeah. It was the funny thing is written all by one guy, according to the credits.
That's what they want you to think.
Yeah.
John Doe.
Other cliches that they hammered were the hand job during dinner scene. They did that one.
Yes. Wedding Crashers never did that.
That's weird. That seems like it would be totally original.
Right. And, you know, if you want to expand that broader, the inopportune orgasm scene, which is in a lot of movies. They did Robin Williams plays a priest.
Oh no! They brought Robin Williams into this orgy too.
Yeah.
How many times has he done that? I feel like he's anytime anyone gets married in a movie, Robin Williams is the priest.
It's because his face is so square.
He did that in the one with John Krasinski and Mandy Moore.
It's Mandy Moore.
That one.
Yeah. They did the guy makes a speech to get the girl back in front of everybody. They did the wedding. They did the switch wedding where they were supposed to have one wedding and then they switched it up and they had another wedding.
The last second?
Yeah.
Because like someone backed out or...
Right.
Yeah. Much ado about nothing.
Yeah. And they did the thing where the religious person turns out to be more liberal than anybody else.
Wow. And
they actually teach other people a lesson.
They did. And they also did... Now this is a joke from like the 80s where someone falls in a pond or a pool and immediately says, I can't swim.
Wow.
They did the I can't swim.
They did the I can't swim. And not
is
like
that a joke?
And not like a poor Colombian, like if it was a poor Colombian kid who fell in the river who said I can't swim, I might believe it.
Robert
but
De
no,
Niro.
This is the rich white lady. Like the really rich white lady.
Susan Sarandon's pussy.
No.
It just sounds tragic.
They did the whole. They did the crowd overhears all of the bad stuff. The big bad argument.
Oh, of course, though.
Yeah. But the odd thing was...
And the wait, so when there's the big bad argument that they think they're having in private and the crowd overhears...
Right.
Then they come out...
Exactly.
And everyone pretends like either they didn't hear it...
Or everybody's just sort of shocked.
Or they're shocked and they're like... And then they realize, oh, holy cheese, they might have heard us.
They did that.
Yeah.
Oh, they did the sexual art piece.
Okay. Was it sculpture or painting?
Sculpture.
Okay.
Right? But the weird thing was, like, I actually laughed a few times. It wasn't, like, totally unfunny. I mean, the fact that it was rated R made it easier for them to sort of add...
To shoehorn laughs in.
To sort of add edge to places where, you know, they had a couple funny lines where Robert De Niro describes Diane Keaton as one of the great cunts of the 19th century, which was kind of a decent line for that kind of movie. And it was weird because it was like this weird – like it was sort of brash in that it was a sex comedy about like 70-year-olds and there was a whole love triangle thing where Robert De Niro fucks his ex-wife and he's also fucking Susan Sarandon and, you know, there's a lot of sex.
A lot of ins and a lot of outs.
A lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous.
The issue is that Diane Keaton goes to the same analyst that Woody Allen referred her to in the first place.
Uh-huh. That's in there.
That's the twist.
And –
You know what I find kind of fascinating is that with that level of cast and the salaries that must have come with it, I haven't heard anything about this movie other than the one poster in the subway where all their mouths were cut out.
Yeah. Well, because it's like the creepiest poster you've ever seen.
It was weird that they cut the mouths out and not the eyes. Like, you cut the eyes out of a poster, that's what you do, but they cut all the mouths out. Like, it was for some sort of mouth scrapbook.
Or you put the mouths in the eyes.
Yeah, that makes sense. But this was just mouths gone, so you could see the poster underneath, which I think was for, I don't know, some sort of club.
Oh, I forgot some of the other cliches, which was that Topher Grace was a 29-year-old virgin waiting for the right lady. Katherine Heigl was the older single girl who's barren.
What an idiot.
She's barren. Her boyfriend's leaving her because she's barren. But then it turns out she can have kids.
Gross.
It's weird how they treat the people that can't have kids in rom-coms because it sort of starts out with them having to learn to accept that they're barren, but then always the plot twist is, and then she had a kid anyway! And it's like, what does that say to people who actually can't have kids?
Yeah, that's a slap in the face.
It sort of is.
Loser.
So it was really weird because like there were actually some funny moments and it was kind of vulgar and like it felt like a good like it felt like someone who was a decent comedy writer was trying to write the worst movie in the history of man.
And they by accident had a couple funny jokes.
He was like, I gotta cook, like I'm really good at cooking this bacon, but I know I have to put it inside this shit burrito. And so he sort of did that.
So there's a couple every bite you take. It's mostly crappy, but every once in a while you get a good taste of bacon.
Yeah, you're like, maybe the guy who made this doesn't seem like the worst chef in the world.
Whoa, you don't need to be a good chef to cook bacon. That's the whole internet point.
All right, that's true. That's true. But poor analogy. Basically, every time I laughed, it felt like I was watching looking at one of those pictures of like the SS guy playing with his dog or something, where it's like I'm laughing, but I sort of feel bad because it's like I'm laughing at Nazis playing catch or something.
With yarmulkes.
Yes. Exactly. With the dead Jew's yarmulke. Just playing frisbee. Oh! Yeah.
That is good, yeah.
Things like that. Things of this nature. Brett, I think you should see it. I think you'd really like it.
What?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Where did that come from?
I was being facetious.
Oh.
Oh.
Also... In romantic comedies, they always do the thing where the ex-husband and the ex-wife are sort of friends and they're sort of friendly and they see each other at family gatherings. And I always wonder, like, who are these magical people that do that? Because that has not been my experience at all.
No,
my parents do that.
Your parents do that?
Yeah, they hang out all the time.
Your parents are fucking weird then.
Yeah.
Ben?
They're all right.
No.
Not at all.
No.
My parents are happily together. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, the people do that in Pittsburgh. That's what I hear.
Silence of the Lambs was filmed in Pittsburgh.
There you go.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
So were Mysteries of Pittsburgh.
Okay, smart guy.
Pittsburgh is just Buffalo.
A lot of kinkles. A lot of kinkles.
It's true. Yes, that's all I got.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
So what... How does the Film Junk grading system work these days?
That's a tough one. I don't know how to grade that one.
Like a C+ or a B-?
I give it, you know.
That's what it sounds like. It's in that range.
I give it 3 orgasms at dinner out of 10.
3? That's a lot at a single
out of
dinner?
Out of 10.
Out of 10 orgasms?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
a lot of semen at the dinner.
So that's like a C- D+.
You know, I wouldn't say – I would say it's C.
A solid C.
A solid C.
Okay.
You know, I was expecting it to be like a D- or an F+.
You don't get a plus on an F. You just fail.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I've heard
so
that.
I have a question. This is an honest question. I know we're going long, but this is an honest thing that went through my mind while I was watching this rom-com. There's certain things that are dumb entertainment that I think – they're not a net negative. I don't think I see it as a – all right, so you entertained some, you know, flipper babies. That's fine. Good for you. But something about the rom-com phenomenon I do think is like brain poison. Like I do think that there is a
it's
net
not a phenomenon.
Negative.
It's been around forever.
No, but it hasn't been terrible until recently.
No, it's always been terrible.
No, it hasn't.
No, you're running backwards through history and picking out your favorites. There are good rom-coms, no doubt. But by definition, the rom-com is the action movie, where most of them are unwatchable.
Okay, but I'm not saying they're not unwatchable, but I'm saying in the past they've been bad in a non-evil way. Like I think there's been a narrowing of the plot structure, and it has gone down to a very finite set of tropes and cliches.
You're retroactively remembering all the good ones. They've always been bad. You just don't recall.
No, I'm not saying they haven't been bad. I'm just saying they've been bad in a less evil way.
What's so evil?
Because I sort of think that it reinforces like a really sort of judgmental mindset. Like it's all about because the structure of a rom-com is all about social norms. And the set of social norms in the world of a rom-com is so narrow and like everything is so weird. Like I think it reinforces that sort of personality where you meet like this dumb sort of yuppie girl who's been watching a million rom-coms and she thinks like everything is weird and everything is disgusting.
Well, that probably says more.
Like for instance, they had one supposed minority in this movie who – one family was like really like over the top racist towards, and it's played by a British guy with a tan.
Rom-coms, like the genre films, are always agents of the status quo. They've never been different. Occasionally you get something that's mildly subversive and it'll reorient, and that's probably the stuff you're remembering. This shit, like by virtue of being genre, it fits into a very specific place in the larger system of filmmaking.
No doubt. I'm not talking about – like there's other genre – like I watched Oblivion. Oblivion is not a new sci-fi film by any stretch. It's very derivative. But I think like there's a higher purpose for the other genre films. Like there's like Oblivion is not about – like it's not about social norms. It's about – like most sci-fis are very genre-driven and they're just as uncreative as rom-coms in a lot of ways. But the end goal is sort of, well, let me show you this imagery. It's sort of like the purpose is sort of to take you to a new world and there is some creativity in like the visual design of whatever world they're creating usually. Whereas like I don't necessarily think that a rom-com has that. It's like a very finite set
of... You're just overthinking the rom-com. I think they're always... They're always, like Brett said, just going to sort of go down to the lowest common denominator for what will get them the most money for said movie. And I don't think
But you have to realize how far it's been boiled down. Like more so than any other genre, it's been boiled down like to an insane like bouillon cube.
No, but there's every genre has been boiled down.
Not like this, dude.
Dude.
Did you not watch 5 Fast, 5 Furious? That's why I enjoyed it so much, because there was no, like, they were almost out of breath with the need to get to the next action scene.
Yeah.
Even like, the bro time that they spent, where they fist bumped and were like, oh, fist bump, and then they hugged.
Yeah.
Like, said fist bump and then hugged. Even that was like, oh my god, we have to get through this, because people are already not car chasing.
Right. Where it's sort of like a dream where your brain sort of makes the connection. So your dream, like, that feels like an hour is actually like 30 seconds. It's like, yeah, it like was, they're literally was, being like, yada, 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 car chase.
They could have, that could have been the whole scene, which I totally, like, I want the action movie refined. And I want the horror movie refined a little bit where it's just like a torso for 5 seconds.
Well, I'll give you that horror is arguably been boiled down.
Which is also pretty socially normative. Like, yeah. Horror is all about reinforcing, I don't know.
Just keep the titties in the genres. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Something about the, I don't know. Something about the fact that rom-coms are dealing with relationships and sort of relationships are all.
True. You're not doing a lot of murdering in your day-to-day life.
Right. Yeah. That's it. That's exactly what it is. Like, horror and sci-fi are essentially escapist, whereas rom-com is not. Rom-com is not really escapist. It's all sort of, it's actually, like, I think it does have an impact on the social norms and you know, relationships.
You can actually act out a rom-com versus a Saw.
Right. And I feel like people are trying to act out
Saw. You can act out Saw, definitely. Yeah.
Like, I feel like the people are people that watch too many rom-coms are trying to act out the relationship equivalent of Saw.
I'll agree with that, but I think that's always been the case. I'm not arguing that you're reading too much into it. I think you are absolutely on the ball, but it has always been the role of genre to reinforce, like, see how far you can stretch it and then still punish the people who tried to stretch it.
Right. I just feel like when it's in a rom-com, there's something worse about that than other genre.
Yeah. Well, we don't even have cowboy movies anymore.
I know. Bummer, right?
Yeah, I know.
So men and women in relationships are not as clever and witty. They're not witty like they are in.
I just feel like it's very. It gives you a very narrow idea of what relationships sort of are. And
I've said some very cruel things to people, human beings, because I thought it would make for a good line in a movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Deeply, deeply unpleasant things. Because I thought, you know what would be a weird twist?
This ends up in a movie.
Me thumbing this guy's eye out.
Oh yeah, you can act out Saw in real life.
I mean, you can try.
You might get caught is the thing.
Yeah.
Well, we can get to Oblivion next week.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You don't need to apologize. Yeah. I it doesn't change the fact that I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you.
The only thing I would recommend is see it in IMAX if you can.
Yeah, definitely. That's the only reason I gave it a decent review.
It was enjoyable in IMAX, and I won't get into the details. We can talk about the it's pretty spoiler-heavy once we talk about it, but there's definitely some really good things about it. There's some things that'll make you scratch your head, not necessarily in a good way.
Some things that'll make you scratch your balls.
Yeah, things will make you scratch your balls. But definitely, if you've got an IMAX theater in your city, make sure to see it in the IMAX, because it's definitely, at a minimum, it's a very pretty movie, for sure. Vince?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. All right. Well, anything else then?
That's it.
All right, Zeke, anything else?
Hey, thanks.
Oh, well, there you go. Thanks, everybody. Are you thinking us or are you thinking the listeners?
I don't know.
Both?
Don't harp on me, man.
I don't even get paid.
Brett, how's New York?
I'd probably give Don Johnson a hand job too, just to be clear.
Okay.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Both Gosling and Johnson. I think they both earned it.
Gauze and Johnson.
Yeah.
All right.
Gauzy Johnson.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening.
That's what you get when you get a hand job. You get a Gauzy Johnson.
It's like petting a baby duck.
Very similar. Very similar. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. Please, check out our Kickstarter. That would be amazing.
And check out that owl.
Check out that owl, the baby owl. Zeke, thanks for stopping by, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Brett, you want to take us on out of here?
I don't know how.
Vince?
Good night and good shins. Brett, hey.
Hey.
How's New York? What's going on?
Why do you ask that every time? It's probably the